So I begin this morning's sermon with a confession that I have always been a fan of Mr. Rogers. And it hasn't always been popular to admit that. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood began to air on PBS nationally while I was in high school. And at that time, well, and really for decades after that, you know, Sesame Street was the hip one, right? I mean, it had the urban setting and those sassy Muppets and the really fast-paced action. Sesame Street was cool. But Mr. Rogers, with his gentle, quiet, slow-paced neighborhood, got mocked, you know, even on Saturday Night Live. When my children were small, those shows were on in our living room every morning, and I had to admit that, nerdy or not, I loved Mr. Rogers. Because he was aimed not just at children's curiosity about the world, but his show was intended to nurture the emotional health and growth of children. And I was really hooked on his gentle respect for young children, the incredible respect with which he addressed them. And, you know, most of my peers just kind of sniggered and rolled their eyes. They were glad that Mr. Rogers was on television for their kids. They just couldn't bear to watch. And then came some dramatic changes in our political landscape and a coarsening of our public conversation. And so I don't think it was by chance that it was within the last few years that there were two movies that came out about Fred Rogers, one in 2018, one in 2019, and both of them were hugely popular. One was a documentary, the other was a biographical drama. And as I remember it, people's reaction to those movies was, oh my, you know, what a relief to see goodness and simple kindness celebrated. Celebrated. Fred Rogers' public image and legacy got a huge upgrade. But for me, it's more than that. It's more than that. There were years ago, Mr. Rogers spoke to my heart with a word that I desperately needed to hear. It was in 2003, about the time that Fred Rogers died. There was a retrospective on his life and work on PBS, and they aired that famous clip from his television show in which a severely handicapped boy in a wheelchair is with Mr. Rogers, and they're singing together, Fred Rogers and the little boy, one of his songs. It's you I like. Every part of you. I hope you will remember, even when you're feeling blue, that it's you I like. And Fred Rogers looked straight into the camera and he said, there's only one person in the whole world like you. You're special. Thank you for just your being you. And I realized that I was crying as I was watching the television. I was crying and crying and crying. Because those words that had been directed at little children had touched a deep need within me at that time. As an adult who was trying to meet 100 different people's expectations. An adult who was pushing and striving to be some ideal, perfect pastor. And of course, it was impossible. And to that struggling and overwhelmed adult, Mr. Rogers said, "Just be you. You are enough." And I don't think that I'm really going too far out on a limb theologically to say that God spoke to me that day through the words of Fred Rogers. And isn't this the message that echoes out of the gospel lesson today for each one of us? According to Luke, after Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven. "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And you might think, as I did for years and years and years, well, of course God would say that about Jesus. But I've come to see this text a little bit differently recently, and commentators on it universally agree that these words from God are not just for Jesus, that they're for us as well, especially in and through our baptism, but not only then. God says to each one of us, "You are my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Surely I'm not the only one who has at some point in life needed to hear that message. Surely I'm not the only one who has at some point, or maybe many points, gotten disconnected from what is really our core identity, our identity as a child of God, a beloved child of God. Barbara Brown Taylor tells about the disjointedness that she believes many Christians feel as they try to straddle the two worlds of church and society and try to figure out how to be authentic, how to be real in both. She says in one of her books, "One man I know describes his dilemma this way. He says, 'On Sunday morning, I walk into a world that is the way God meant it to be. People are considerate of one another. Strangers are welcomed. We pray for justice and peace. Our sins are forgiven. We all face in one direction when we worship the same God. And when it's over, I get in my car to drive home feeling so full of love, it's unbelievable. But by the time I've gone 20 minutes down the road, it's already begun to wear off. By Monday morning, it's all gone, and I've got another whole week to wait until Sunday rolls around again." So the question becomes, how does one hear and feel in the Monday to Saturday world? The message that we hear on Sunday morning, "You are my child, my beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Henry Nouwen, well-known theologian and teacher and writer, developed a long-term friendship with a young journalist named Fred Brotman, a totally secular New Yorker. And even this secular man who couldn't grasp the concept of God was struggling for meaning in his life, for purpose, for the ability to live out the core of who he was. And this young journalist read his friend Nouwen's books, but he said to his friend, "You know, they're really well written, but they just don't speak to me. I don't get what you're talking about." He simply couldn't comprehend or connect with the reality of faith or even with the idea of God that Henry Nouwen was describing. And Henry Nouwen writes, "One day while we were walking on Columbus Avenue in New York City, Fred turned to me and said, 'Why don't you write something about the spiritual life for me and for my friends? For us secular folks who live in this anonymous city of crowded subways and office towers and apartment buildings where we don't know our neighbors and who have forgotten how to believe in God.' And now, and struggled for months, even years, to find a way to speak the gospel to Fred and to men and women like him. And when it finally came together, here's how it began. 'Ever since you asked me to write for you and your friends about the spiritual life, I've been wondering if there might be one word I would most want you to remember when you finished reading all I had to say. Over the past year, that special word has gradually emerged from the depths of my own heart. It's the word beloved. I first learned this word from the story of the baptism of Jesus of Nazareth. No sooner had Jesus come up out of the water than he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit like a dove descending on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. My favor rests on you.' Our many conversations led me to the inner conviction that the words, 'You are my beloved,' revealed the most intimate truth about all human beings, whether they belong to any particular tradition or not. Fred, all I want to say to you is, you are the beloved. And all I hope that you can hear these words as spoken to you with all the tenderness and force that love can hold. You are my beloved. On you my favor rests." It's certainly not easy to hear that voice in a world filled with voices that shout, "You're no good. You're ugly. You're worthless. You're despicable. You're nobody," unless you can demonstrate otherwise. These negative voices are so loud and so persistent that it's easy to believe them. But that's the trap of self-rejection. God's voice echoed from heaven the day Jesus was baptized, "You are my beloved." And I believe that these are words from God to us as well. You are my beloved. Can you hear them? Can you hear them spoken to you, Kim, and to you, Pierre? Can you hear God say, "You are my beloved"? I hear that same message through the words of assurance that Isaiah spoke to God's people long ago that were quoted in our call to worship. "But now, says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious in my eyes, and you are honored, and I love you." At her Methodist church in Ohio, my sister makes a banner for each child, each baby that is baptized there. And the banner has a symbol on it and the child's name, but then these words from Isaiah. It's the banner says, "I have called you by name. You are mine." What a wonderful affirmation for a child to have those words from God directed at them. But when we hear those words from Isaiah, there's a call in them as well as the affirmation in this text in Isaiah 43. Because as you read on a little further in the passage, it ends by saying, I formed you, I made you, I created you for my glory. So God has created each one of us to serve God's purpose. Not to be fabulous at something that's not your gift, but to be the person God made you to be. And to serve God with the gifts that you have. Not to try to do everything and to meet every expectation, but to do your best at the few tasks that God has given to you in a way that honors God. Whether you're just leaving school to find your place in the world or figuring out how to use your retirement years or somewhere in between, God says to you, I've called you by name. You are mine. You are precious to me. Go be my person in and for the world. Live for my glory. Just for a moment, let's think about Fred Rogers again. His show began in the mid-1960s, and as television got to be more sophisticated by leaps and bounds, really, there must have been enormous pressure on him to make his show more flashy, more fast-paced, more cool, like the others that were gaining such huge success. But the format of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood never changed, and neither did he. Always the simple and direct manner, always calm, and slow and deliberative speech, always the sweaters knit by his mother. Fred Rogers stayed true to God's call on his life, which he described this way, to minister to children and families through media. His ministry, his calling was to care for the emotional development of each child with a single core message. You're unique. You're special. I like you just the way you are. And that's what he did. He did it with the gifts he had. He did it well. And he never quit. He lived his calling to the glory of God. Now when Jesus also had been baptized, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Jesus heard that as a word of affirmation from God, and he heard the call in it too, to begin the work that God had sent him to do. We too are baptized. God's affirmation and call comes to us as well. You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. I created you for my glory. Can you hear it? Can you live it? Amen.